Before coronavirus hit, opioids were widely viewed as one of the nation's top public health crises.
According to the American Medical Association, more than 40 states have recorded increases in opioid-related deaths since the start of the pandemic.
Meanwhile, lawsuits against drug manufacturing companies continue making their way through the courts, like the recently settled Purdue Pharma lawsuit.
The company pleaded guilty to three felonies and agreed to an $8 billion settlement for the aggressive marketing of the drugs that help fuel this.
You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the opioid crisis? How do you think treating the crisis has been impacted by COVID-19? If you have a personal story to share with us, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
Dr. Chris Eberlein is an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. Dr. Eberlein, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me today.
As an emergency room doctor, what have you seen change in the last months related to the opioid crisis?
You know, it's been a pretty challenging 6-8 months, as we all know, for multiple reasons. But what we've seen in the emergency departments is, at least locally, we had been doing fairly well at reducing our opiate deaths in the county of La Crosse. In fact, we had a high of 29 approximately 4 years ago, and we had steadily dropped that down to 22, and we'd completely eliminated deaths from prescription opiate drugs. And this year, early on, we saw that really basically do a 180, and already this year we're past where we were at the highest that we were in the past, with 32 deaths already year to date. So it's been a pretty challenging year, and I think it's been frustrating for a lot of those on the front lines that saw some progress made and then saw the decline.
So what's happening that things have changed?
Well, I really think it's started off with the social isolation, and you've got a vulnerable population to begin with those with substance use disorder. And a lot of them have confounding mental health issues, things like that. And so what we saw was they were not either canceling appointments, having appointments canceled, or not going in and getting their routine mental health. So I think that was a big factor. And then they lost some of their social supports. And then when you couple that with economic trouble and everything else that came with the pandemic, and especially the uncertainty, I think it really drove a lot of them to use more, unfortunately.
Yeah. How does that limiting of contact with other people really affect someone who has a history of addiction or who has been struggling with drug use?
Yeah, I think that's just huge because they really need that social support. You know, the times they're thinking of using, they'd have someone to go visit or talk to and things like that. And that loss of social support, I think, was a huge impact on these patients.
How should we think about COVID-19 as a pandemic and the opioid crisis as an epidemic? Is our focus on COVID-19 taking away from our focus on opioids? Is it being overshadowed, or is it not really a contentious relationship? Where do you see it?
I see it as a complicated relationship. You know, you had initially early on, I think there was, you know, we didn't really know how to handle the outpatient visits, and all the telehealth components weren't really in place. And so as we've transitioned, I think we've been able to shift focus back. But early on, truly, I think the focus was shifted towards COVID-19. And quite frankly, I think that was initially on was appropriate because we didn't know exactly what we were dealing with at the time. But as time has gone on and we've kind of worked out some of the glitches in the telehealth and getting appointments back online, our shift, we're finding out we're able to deal with both at once.
Mm. Dr. Chris Eberlein is an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse, and we are talking about the opioid epidemic and how it relates to COVID-19 and what's still happening in our country when it comes to prescription drugs. You are listening to the Ideas Network, and you can call in to join this conversation. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We've got Rick from Eau Claire ready to join the conversation. Hi, Rick. All right. It looks like we missed Rick, but Rick's question is, with the recent crackdown on doctors prescribing opioids, then where are they coming from? Dr. Eberlein.
Well, I think what you've seen is, you know, we've had two major fentanyl busts in La Crosse County. In fact, between the two of them, it was enough to overdose about 200,000 people. So we are seeing a substantial increase in the illicit drug trade. Our prescription drug numbers, there has been a slight trend to larger prescriptions, and I think that was in part because it was more difficult to get appointments. So, but by far and large, the majority of deaths that we're seeing is secondary to the illicit drug trade.
And let's take just a step back then. When you mentioned fentanyl, we're seeing it come up because people think that assume that they have heroin or they have purchased heroin, and really it's fentanyl, which is extremely deadly.
That's correct. Yep. In fact, and unfortunately, I think some people now, I've heard they're actually marketing it sometimes as fentanyl, but by far and large, the majority of people are looking for IV heroin. And the trick there is fentanyl is about 1,000 times stronger than heroin, so it's very difficult to weigh out and to get the proper, to get a non-lethal dose.
As winter approaches, there are lots of people who are going to be dealing with seasonal depression or even additional mental health problems related to pandemic stress, as you mentioned. Do you think that factors into what we're seeing right now and what we might see this winter?
I absolutely do. I think this is going to be something that this is going to be an ongoing struggle for patients that have mental health problems. And I really encourage them to reach out and get the help that they need, because it is there. It's in the communities, and it should be as easy to get now than it was in the past, but they have to make the first step and reach out.
Yeah, and we've rooted this conversation in discussion of opioids, you know, which is an addiction, which is a physical addiction. You're talking a lot about mental health. Is addiction also a mental health issue, and how do we deal with all of those factors at the same time?
Absolutely. Addiction is a very complicated disease. You've got mental health undertones with physical addiction. So all components really have to be dealt with to have a successful treatment. And those patients are complicated patients, and you know, the pandemic has been very hard on them.
I want to go to Bo in Waukesha now. Bo, thanks for the call.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm just listening. I'm an addict in recovery myself. And, you know, there is a lot of stuff out there right now, despite, you know, the resources that have been either complicated or have been taken away. You know, I've stayed clean through this, and I know a lot of people have. But it has been, a lot of people close to me pass away during this time, too. I know it's been very hard. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff online, like these there's a lot of Zoom meetings. You know, I can get on a meeting any time of the day or night anywhere in the world right now, and that's been available this whole time, and it's been great, you know. And you know, it only takes two people to have a meeting. You know, anybody can get together. You know, you don't have to go to an actual meeting or a place where they hold it. You know, you can facilitate one yourself. You know, all of our literature, all of the literature is online. And you know, I won't speak directly what program I'm in exactly, but there's a lot of things available. You know, there's a lot of call-ins too, so you can call and get on a meeting as well, just so people know that, you know, you can get online.
Bo, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and best of luck in your recovery. We really appreciate you being willing to talk with us about that. And Dr. Eberlein, what I hear Bo saying is, yes, it's really hard, and maybe there are some opportunities where things are now more accessible to people than they might have been if we hadn't had a pandemic and realized there's a need for this telehealth.
Yeah, you know, I think some of that is true. And, you know, and I really do support and appreciate his insight on that, because a lot of people have reached out to, you know, telehealth and Zoom meetings and, you know, WebEx, all these other different platforms and make connections. And I really encourage people to keep doing that. There is always that subset of patients that are left behind that don't have access to such technology. And so we're also really working hard locally to try and figure out how to connect with them once again as well.
We're talking with Dr. Chris Eberlein, an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the ongoing opioid crisis? Are you a service provider or someone who, like our caller, has needed services to help deal with addiction? What is working for you in 2020 in finding or providing treatment? Call in with your thoughts, your stories at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org.
This conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. Right now we're talking with Dr. Chris Eberlein. He's an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. And we're talking about the opioid epidemic. And there's room for you in this conversation. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. What question do you have about what's happening when it comes to the opioid crisis? Maybe you have a story you'd like to share. 800-642-1234. And we have Cal from Madison ready for this conversation. Hi, Cal.
Well, hi. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. And I think this is an absolutely important topic to have on. It's good to hear it. So I just have a concern for me. I've been in the recovery community for almost 40 years, and I have a really strong established network. Anywhere I go, I feel comfortable with that. But the main issue that I see and that I have the most trouble with is that the person who's seeking help right now has no way of finding it or very little way of finding it. And people who are seeking help are in a situation where they don't have access to internet or aren't in a state of mind that really would lend to them figuring out how to use those resources that are available. They're mostly fairly desperate and, confused and so forth. So it's a situation that is continuing, and we don't have answers. I don't have answers for it. I've been trying to find a way to, make these contacts myself, and other than references through the community, which I always get, there's just not much way to, to contact those folks or to maintain or create a contact for them,
Yeah, Cal, thank you so much for talking about this aspect of it. Dr. Eberlein, what should someone do if they're in the position where they feel like they need help, but there are so many restrictions now and it's just not as easy?
Yeah, and that is the thing that we really struggled with early on. But as Bo alluded to, I think that now that we've got more e-visits going, and there is more opportunities have opened up. We were looking locally just a week ago at our Alliance to Heal and looking at the opportunities, and we have expanded our providers and counselors and across the entire spectrum of treatment. We're at the best place we've ever been. So really encourage these patients to reach out, contact their county, contact their local. Most counties now have some sort of, our Alliance to Heal is an example in La Crosse, where it's a group of community members. We've got a website, and if you don't have access to a computer, you can go to the library and use that. The resources are there, and we're really working at pushing these resources out to the vulnerable community members. We've started a program in our ambulance service, Tri-State Ambulance, whereas if someone overdoses prior to this, when they refuse to go to the hospital, which often happens about 25% of the time, and you miss the opportunity to intervene, we were just giving them some a small amount of resources. But now we put together an overdose safety kit that includes Narcan, pocket mask for rescue breathing, and a 17-page document that they that's left at the scene with them on all the resources in the community so they can reach out and get help. And, that's just one of the examples of the things that we're really trying to spread throughout the community, both Narcan and all the resources that are available.
We've seen some news reports from other places where a COVID test has been required to be treated or to be seen for addiction. I mean, that could take days. What is the situation here?
Yeah, here, this is where those electronic visits would really fit in, because you can make that initial contact virtually. You don't have to worry about the COVID testing then. And so I think that is going to be a key component going forward to making sure that we continue to get, support for those electronic visits.
Yeah. We've got Laura in Beaver Dam ready to talk with us. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I have a family member that's addicted, and it's been probably everything under the spectrum that we've been on and off. I want to know what is the first step to try to get them into treatment, to talk them into it, or how can I help her?
Laura, thank you so much for being willing to ask that question. Dr. Eberlein, where can Laura start?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for reaching out on your loved one's behalf. I think you've already made the first start by being there to listen to the person that's addicted. Oftentimes it's a matter of just having someone they know they can trust to be able to talk to, and then to help guide them to look for alternatives for treatment. There are a lot of, unfortunately with addiction, it's awful, and the one shoe doesn't fit all. There's lots of different routes to sobriety here, and you really have to work with that individual patient and finding something that works for them. But the most important thing is having them have someone that they trust that they can talk to.
And also, if Laura is worried about this person, it sounds like, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for Laura to kind of care for herself, too. Is that fair, Dr. Eberlein?
For sure. Yeah, you always have to take care, to work at, if you're really worried about someone, you bring them in the emergency department, bring them into their family doctor, physically bring them there and tell them your concerns. Sometimes you just really have to really be an advocate for that family member, because oftentimes they're reluctant. They're nervous about it. They've been stigmatized in the past, perhaps, and so they don't feel so comfortable going in and asking for help.
Yeah. Dr. Chris Eberlein is an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse, and we are talking about the opioid epidemic. We've got John from Black River Falls on the line. Hey, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if you're seeing an upscale in abuse in program, like for Suboxone programs and other programs of that nature. And if you are, is that attributing to the purchase of the illicit drugs out on the streets?
Thanks for the question, John. And John also mentioned Suboxone. So, Dr. Eberlein, go ahead.
Sure. So locally, we have not seen the medication-assisted treatments be a driving force in our increase in deaths. And so we have not seen that locally. I don't know about statewide. So locally, that hasn't been a problem, fortunately. Most of the deaths that we're seeing are secondary to fentanyl. And we've had pretty good success with our medication-assisted treatments locally.
Because Suboxone is one of the drugs that you can use to help treat opioid addiction.
That is correct.
Just last month, the Justice Department announced a settlement of $8 billion with Purdue Pharma, really for this aggressive marketing that helped fuel the prescription opioid epidemic from the beginning. Are we still seeing high levels of opioids prescribed?
We've seen a dramatic decrease in prescriptions. In fact, it's pretty profound when you review the data. I mean, we're talking over 50% now statewide since this began. So the providers with the provider education and the PDMP, those are the two things that really made an impact. And so that was directly correlated to our decrease in overdose deaths due to prescriptions locally and statewide as well.
What does that do for people who really do need the opioid prescriptions? How has that changed their lives or their relationship with doctors who prescribe them?
So that is a challenging aspect. There will always be patients that obviously require these drugs. These drugs are important in the treatment of many diseases. And there's no doubt they were overprescribed before for a lot of things that weren't necessary. But we also have to be careful the pendulum doesn't swing too far, that we're not treating patients that really need these medications.
Well, I mean, the American Medical Association has been advocating for more flexibility when it comes to providing medicine and care for patients with opioid use. Is that something you're practicing at your clinic?
For sure. Yeah. You know, every patient is treated as an individual, and you really have to find the best course of treatment for that patient.
Okay. And sometimes that requires some flexibility. Like what might you see?
Well, you may see, you know, longer and higher dosing of certain medications. Referrals to other types of providers is also important when you're looking for alternatives to the patient's pain. You know, that is one thing that I think that we really missed in the past is looking at, it was real easy to prescribe a medication, and it was more time consuming and often more difficult for the patient to commit to those 20 physical therapy appointments or commit to the chiropractor, acupuncture. I mean, there's the whole gauntlet of alternative therapies out there that can help these patients.
Yeah. Dr. Eberlein, want to say thank you so much for being here with us. As we wrap up, that was Dr. Chris Eberlein, an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse, and he joined us to talk about what's happening in our state with the opioid epidemic.